Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Joel Abob is here, too. Joel is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. More than 9 years he's been joining us now, and he is the Franchise King. He's the author of Become a Franchise Owner, the Startup Guide to Lowering Risk, Making Money, and Owning What You Do. And he's our good friend, Joel Abob. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me, sir.
It's good to have you back, as always. Joel always joins us on a regular basis to help us understand how franchising is looking and how this part of this sector of small business works. Joel, one of the things we've talked about over the years, as we talk about franchising, is buying a franchise. We oftentimes talk about buying a franchise from the franchisor, which we've always also talked about, people who actually create the intellectual property that gives rise to a franchise idea, a model, and then people buy franchises from that group. One of the things we haven't talked a lot about is, what if there's a franchise available, a franchisee who's bought their franchise from somebody, and they've operated for a period of time, now they're ready to sell it. How does that work?
Interesting. I posed a question to my newsletter list, what they'd like me to write about. And it was weird because a month before that, a new advertiser, franchiseretail.com, came aboard on my directory, on my franchise directory.
Yeah.
And they wanted to, you know, showcase their opportunities that, you know, you can buy franchises that are existing. So between the two, I decided to write about it and talk about it more because it's really an undercovered subject.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting way to get into business because, first of all, it's perceived as being lower risk. Because if
right.
you're buying an existing business, the obvious is that there is revenue coming in already, and there's an existing customer base, and there are vendors that are approved that you can buy from. And it all kind of, on the surface, sounds like a good idea. Hey, instead of doing a franchise startup where I'm starting from zero and building equity that way,
mm-hmm.
why don't I buy someone else's franchise that's been up and running for 5 or 10 years, they've created the equity already, and maybe I can capitalize on
mm-hmm.
that.
The good news about that direction, going the franchise, buying a franchise route as opposed to buying a non-franchise small business, and I just have to be honest here, if you're buying a franchise, you're going to get good records,
right?
You're going to, because the franchise whose model they're operating under is going to require them to have good financial records, right?
Not only is that 100% correct, but because of today's technology, a lot of the information, a lot of revenue and sales information, is transferred electronically, automatically,
right.
from the point of sale.
Right.
Stations.
So my point is, comparing that, and I hate to say this, but if you walk into the average small business out there to buy it, you're less likely to get as solid and as dependable financial records. Nobody's trying to fool you. Nobody's trying to take advantage of you.
Right.
The average small business just doesn't keep records well enough to be able to, for you to be able to make a really good buying decision. That's just the way it is. I have to call it like it is, Joel. And a franchise is going to be much less likely to be that way. It's going to be much more likely to have good records, so you can depend on them.
I agree. Having said that, there are some very, very good accountants out there.
Yeah.
And it's still possible that the revenue numbers might not be perfect compared to what you're seeing on paper. But in general, I would
right.
agree that the
yeah.
franchisees are going to have better records.
And it's not because they're better managers
right,
or better
right.
people than the regular small business. It's just that they're under the thumb of the franchisor.
Right. The records they have to keep are tighter.
Which brings us to the next thing. Which brings us to the next thing, Joel. Under the thumb thing, right? As we and I've talked about.
Yes.
Being a franchisee is not for everybody.
Not only is
if you want to be a pure entrepreneur, you're not going to be happy being under the thumb of a franchisor, right?
No, that's right. You and I would not make good franchisees.
No
way.
So what else?
You know, it's interesting because especially when my clients are a couple, it seems like couples really, really like the idea of getting into a business that's up and running already. If they're both involved in the decision, they really, really feel just lower risk. I don't know if it's lower risk, but it certainly is a guarantee of having some income coming in faster.
Well, the risk is more likely to be along the lines of the viability of the franchise itself.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes. Yes. And why is it for sale?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
And you have to be a really, really good investigator to find out why it is for sale.
And also, don't get too excited about about you buying this thing, because there's good, as I said earlier, the thumb of the franchisor, they're going to have the franchisor, the people this person that you're doing business with, you're wanting to buy from, the organization that they're paying royalties to every month, they're going to have something to say about this transaction too, aren't they?
Absolutely. The franchisor must approve who you are selling your franchise to. You can't just sell to any schlub off the street that has money. They have to be someone that's going to fit into the franchisor's culture and someone that they feel can be successful.
And protect the brand and they would, for example, if I tried to buy it, they would look at me and they would ask me questions and they'd say, "We don't think you'll follow the rules, Blessing Game."
Right.
So you can't buy this.
I'll second that motion. I'll have them call me too.
Yeah. Yeah. And so no, this is the thing is there's good news and then there's other news when you're trying to buy a franchise that's already existing, right?
You know, you're right. And think about it. I mean, there are businesses, franchise and non-franchise businesses, that are being bought and sold every hour of the day in the United States. So people are buying and people are selling.
Mm-hmm. Also, you might come near getting financing too on an existing. I'm buying an existing franchise. That's another advantage. We'll come back. We're going to change the subject a little bit. Stay in franchising. But we're going to talk about something the Obama administration is doing through the National Labor Relationship Board and franchises, how they characterize themselves, how they classify themselves. And we'll do that right after these messages. 20 after. Right back with Joel Abava.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.